Hello, and welcome to the Braided Faith Podcast, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. Together, we'll share stories of faith and redemption to bring hope into your life. I'm your host, Chrissy Addis, and I'm here to inspire you, motivate you, and connect you with other people whose stories aren't so different from yours. So grab your hot cup of coffee or hot tea, sit back, relax, and get ready to feel empowered alongside a supportive community of faithful women just like you. This is the Braided Faith Podcast. Hello, hello, you guys. Welcome to the Braided Faith Podcast. And I have been promising you guys some guests. And so here is one of our first ones. We have Paige Allen from Lubbock, Texas. She is amazing, you guys. So when we're done, we're going to tell y'all where to find her because she brings some awesome inspiration into your day on social media. She is local to Lubbock. So a lot of y'all, if you live here, you might have seen her preach and be a part of her ministry, but we're going to share all of that as we go. But let's just do a little introduction to Paige so that way we will know who we are talking to. Paige is a wife, mother, pastor, speaker, and podcast host. She's passionate about opening the door for others to have aha moments with scripture, and she believes our stories have the power to transform lives. Paige serves as an executive pastor at a multi-site church in Texas, and she holds is that Master of Divinity?
Divinity.
Okay. I was close. From the King's University, Paige is a fan of vanilla lattes, a good book, and West Texas sunsets. You can connect with her on social media at Paige Allen Texas, and all of that will be in the show notes, you guys. So if y'all just fall in love with her, like I know you are, you can go and follow her. I'll have all the things down there for y'all. So Paige, let's just start. I really like to ask people, and I say this very lightly because I know that it can be a big long story how you came to Jesus, right? Everybody has a testimony. And so just in your like simplest form, how did you like just become a Jesus follower and lover of Jesus? Because I know you love Jesus.
I do love Jesus. Thanks for having me, by the way. Okay, so I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up in the church. I like to say I was in the doors of the church every time they were open. So I technically accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was about 4 years old in a little classroom with a teacher. And I loved him. I did love him. But I would also say I became like a true, like sold out follower for him when I was about 15. And I knew everything about Jesus in my head because I had spent so much time in church. But when I was 15, I started really struggling, struggling with anxiety, just asking questions. When I look back now, it was basic teenage angst, you know, kind of a thing. But one thing about it was I couldn't sleep and I was really battling insomnia. And I had people pray for me. I even went to doctors to see, you know, if my hormones were off. And at the end of the day, you know, in the season, there's about 3 months where I just couldn't sleep. I finally just started reading my Bible. And I'm going to be honest, I chose that because I thought it would be boring enough. It would make me fall asleep. But something happened alone in my bedroom at the age of 15 as night after night, I just read scripture. It came alive. And I felt like I got to know Jesus just for myself. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life. And I haven't been the same. So I've been saved since I was a little girl, but it was when I was a teenager that he became my person. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I'm glad that you talk about that and share that because I had a similar experience, only I was actually way older. Mm-hmm. When my husband and I moved to Oregon. I just had it in my mind, like, I'm a Christian, because we grew up around it. And so I think it's good to point out, especially those of us from, you know, Texas, you know, just states where it's kind of considered the Bible Belt, It's good to point that out, that and for us to share those stories with other women, because I have a couple of friends that actually feel guilty when they are like, oh my gosh, I thought I loved him all of those years and I don't. And so it's good to just share that to, you're not alone. You know, like, I think I'm so glad to, when I hear women say that, you know, talk about that, like, I've known about him since I was little, but I became a true follower of Christ at an older age or whatever, you know, because it's true. I mean, it's just a part of growing up in it. You have to experience him yourself and you have to build that relationship yourself. So I
love
that.
It's so true. You know, I do think, yeah, when you grew up in the Bible Belt, it's really easy to ride on the coattails of your parents or just the people you're around. And you can kind of lull yourself into believing, oh, I'm good. God and I are good. And, you know, and I'm not one to judge it, but like there is something different when you get it for yourself, when you have that like real encounter with the Lord that, you know, it's, you cannot deny it and it can't be taken away. So yeah.
Yes. I love that so much. Well, so, you know, we are going to obviously talk about your book, and I'm going to go on ahead and go there because it's, for me, it's the elephant in the room because it was such a good book. I will be honest. I think I still have like a couple of chapters left. So I'm almost done with it. And it's, to me, it's the elephant in the room because it was such a good book. And so I know that there's more to Paige than writing a book. So, you know, I definitely want you to know that. I don't want to like, what's the word I'm looking for? What is it when people star out? No, it's not star out. What is it called? Anyway,
not sure. Yeah.
If it'll pop up in my
okay,
mind.
Okay.
But, you know, first of all, what inspired you to write this specific book?
Yeah. So I do, I have a book, it's called He Knows Your Name, and it's about the seven nameless women in the Gospels specifically that all encounter Jesus. And I started dreaming about writing this book almost a decade ago. I was teaching a Bible study at our church, and a lady came up to me afterwards and said something along the lines of that she was studying a woman in the Old Testament. And she just used the phrase, I'm really drawn to the unnamed women of the Bible. And I had never categorized, you know, named versus unnamed or anything like that. And I went home and it was like, I just could not shake that label. And I started realizing that I was actually preaching a lot of stories of unnamed women without even realizing like that thread. And so I just got serious. Like I'm gonna just like do a deep dive and start studying the unnamed women of the Bible. And I started in the Gospels, and I just fell in love with them because I felt like they were a little bit of a picture of women today. I've worked on a church staff, and I've worked specifically with women's ministry for a lot of years now. And I've just found, regardless of our age or stage of life, every woman at some point is asking the question, does anybody see me? Does anybody know me? Is what I'm doing, like, is it noticeable at all? I think our world and the enemy loves to whisper lies that no, you don't. What you do doesn't matter. You know, basically nobody knows your name. Mm-hmm. And so as I studied these women and I saw how Jesus reacted to them, and how he responded to them, it just gave me so much hope. And I thought, women need to see their stories all together. So that's kind of what inspired me. Yeah. So, I mean, for a decade, I've been studying these girls.
Wow. I love it. And I think, especially nowadays, it's so easy for people to be, you know, be seen and heard on our social media platforms and email and YouTube and all those things. And so, I think even, I mean, we're both on social media, and the thing is like, even being seen by Instagram or Facebook Live or whatever, it might give like a temporary feeling of being seen and known and heard, but it just does not replace being known by Jesus. I mean, it just doesn't. And being held by him and loved by him and taken care of, like, you know, by him. And so I it's such a beautiful idea. And it is a beautiful book. So I'm thankful that somebody has taken that time to study those women, because I'll be honest, I never, well, kind of like what you're saying, mm-hmm. you know, you do hear about them, but you don't really think about it in that way, you know,
right.
as, you know, so mm-hmm. it was such a, for me, an eye opener to be like, wow, that's really neat, you know?
Yeah. It's so true. And you're right, Chrissy, about your world right now is consumed with being known, like, quote unquote, being known. Like, how many followers do you have? I think I say in the book, my 11-year-old wanted her own YouTube channel, which is not, because that's, I mean, like, the world is saying, this is what equates worth. This is what equates security. Mm-hmm. But when you talk to anybody who has that, they're like, well, but it's so empty, you know? Yeah. And yeah, so yes. Yeah. So it's all about what actually meets that longing in your soul.
Yes. Yeah. Nothing else matters whenever you are truly feeling loved by our Heavenly Father. I mean, it's just, yeah, I can't imagine going through life without him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I have to comment on chapter 7, and you're talking about the story of Wanda. Like, yes. I got the chills when I read that, and I was just like, I want Wanda Faith. And that literally stuck with me for days, just by, you know, just, wow. Like, you know what I mean? And it made me, like, think about just even the smallest things that I will lose faith in, or feel like, I guess God's not listening to my prayers, or he's, where are you, God? And it can be the smallest thing. And so to just, like, read that story. And so, you know, I'll let you talk about that a little bit more, because you obviously personally know Wanda. So I'll just tell you, like, wow, I'm so glad you talked about her. And even just that whole chapter was awesome.
So, yeah. Well, yeah,
I'll tell you about Wanda and I'll tell you about experience.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So Miss Wanda was a fiery prayer warrior in our church. And several years ago, over a decade ago, my husband and I, we led a team to Israel to do a tour of the Holy Land. And one day, literally one single day before we were set to leave, a skirmish broke out between Lebanon, which is in the kind of northern, and Israel. And so we kind of were debating whether or not to still go. But after talking to people on the ground, they assured us that we would be just fine. And so we took off with 26 or 27 people to Israel, and Miss Wanda was one of them. Now, I need to tell you, Miss Wanda, she was a widow. She was in her 80s. It was her dream to go to Israel. And as soon as we landed, we get information that, okay, listen, everything's going to be fine, but here's the thing. If you hear the siren in the background, and they played it for us, you have 45 seconds to seek shelter. And I will never forget, Chrissy, like, everyone's eyes were so big. We're looking around, and some, you know, a guy in the back is like, I'm sorry, just say 45 seconds. You know, like we're thinking, what is even 45 seconds? And they said, yeah, because here's the thing. We're basically always under threat of attack. And so we're not going to, you know, send the sirens off unless a missile has actually been sighted and is actually incoming. Otherwise, there would be sirens going off all the time. So if a siren is heard, we can see the missiles coming. So you have 45 seconds. And, you know, that sobered us up real fast. And yet the first 2 days we were fine. We didn't hear any sirens. Everything seemed pretty peaceful. And so we were kind of going back and forth. We had it on our itinerary to go out to the Sea of Galilee, which I had been once before. And I just knew what a powerful experience that would be for the team. So we were like, yeah, let's just do it. Let's do it. So we all get on this big boat and we go out to the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Like, we are really far out. I will never forget. We were singing Shout to the Lord. They had that playing, Darling Check. And all of a sudden, like, very faintly, I could kind of get this sound from the shore, and I could tell it was the sirens going off, like a woo. And I look over, you know, at the boat driver, and our guide is there, and they're talking on phones and radios, and they actually turned the volume up on the song. So like half of our team didn't even realize it, but they're turning the boat around, and we start like making it for land. And my husband comes over to me, and he says, and you know, I'm in my early 30s at this point. He said, listen, I need to remind you, because he could tell I was nervous. I need to remind you that we are the leaders of this team. And so we can leave no man behind. Like, we cannot be focused on just self-preservation, basically. And so we look around, and we basically, he says he's going to take this one woman who she had a bad hip, and another gentleman was going to take another woman. And he said, and you've got Miss Wanda. And so our boat lands, and they've given us instructions to run by this rock wall and, like, you know, duck until our bus can get there to get us out. And so everyone is jumping off the boat. Like, the young people are like literally like sprinting, and we're all going as fast as we can. And I've got Miss Wanda by the arm, and we're trying to get off the boat. And I realize, like, we are the last two on this boat. And we're walking. My husband actually picks up his little old woman and just starts running with her. And it's quite the scene. So I'm walking with Miss Wanda. The sirens are blaring. And if you can imagine, like, I'm scared. I am nervous. Like, 45 seconds have already passed. Like, I'm, you know, I'm looking to the sky. I'm wondering what's about to happen. And we're not going very fast. And so I kind of look over at Miss Wanda, and I'm like, Miss Wanda, we need to speed up. Can we speed up? And I kid you not, she actually slowed down just a little bit. And she looked at me, and she said these words. I will never forget them. She said, darling, I got a promise from Jesus a long time ago that before I die, I would see the walls of Jerusalem. And it's not on our itinerary for 2 more days. So I figure I've got 48 hours before he takes me out.
Wow.
And she kind of chuckled. And I just looked at her and was like, okay, well, let's still go, you know. So we make it onto the bus. We're leaving. And as we're on that bus, everyone's just talking 100 miles a minute. And I'm sitting there a little bit dazed and like, oh, my goodness, what just happened? But more than the missiles, I was so dazed at Miss Wanda's faith. Like, I started realizing, like, okay, she got a promise from the Lord that before she died, she would get to see Jerusalem. And she is so confident in his word that when literal missiles and actual sirens are screaming in the background, she is not swayed. She is not afraid. She's not going to even pick up her pace. Like, and so I write about the story of just how it has stuck with me from that day forward of like, Jesus, I want to know you like that. Like, right? Like, he's spoken promises to my heart as well, but do I believe them with that level of tenacity that when things are not going the way I expect, do I put that promise above what I'm seeing with my eyes in that moment? And the truth is, at that point in my life, and still in some areas today, I don't, you know?
Yeah. I don't know a lot of people that truly do. Like, mm-hmm. I know people with just amazing faith, but I don't think I've ever heard a story like that, you know?
Yeah. Right. And we obviously, I'm still alive to this day. We were fine. We went to Jerusalem. Yeah. 2 days later, she got to see what she wanted to see. And she's now gone on to be with Jesus. Like, she's, you know, she's passed away now. But yeah. And you know what? I started thinking as I was praying into it. And the reason I write her story, I connect it with the widow with two mites. Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, in all of scripture, there's a lot of talk about widows. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is so good about like reminding us we need to honor and care for widows. And as I started, I actually got to know Miss Wanda a lot more after we got home from Israel. And what I discovered was she had been through some hard things in her life. You know, she had lost a husband. She'd actually been alive during World War II and was one of the Rosie the Riveters, you know, kind of a thing. And what I began to realize is there had been seasons in her life that were so hard that the word of Jesus really did become the thing that she clung to, the thing that gave her hope, the thing that got her through. And so my thought was this, is instead of us always trying to run away from hard situations, if we can begin to see like, no, they are developing a faith in the word and the promises of God, like it is not a waste, you know? We can learn from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love that you do share that, you know, it's not like she just woke up, you know, with all of that faith. She went through life, and we do have choices when we're going through struggles. We either allow ourselves to cling to God and just trust him even when it's hard, or not. And it's hard to not have him by our side. Like, I just, that, you know, things that happen in life, it's just, I there are so many things that I don't know how I would do it without him, you know? And I mean, I'm sure that's the same for you too. I mean, I know that's the same for you. And I'm going to move along. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, it was a long story, but it's a good one. So,
I'm glad you did, because it's, you know, it's one thing to read it in the book, because I got the chills when I read it in the book, but even just hearing you talk about it, it's like, okay, it's a different experience. So thank you.
Yes.
And so talking about hard times, you did talk about, and I know it was a vulnerable, you know, spot for you to talk about and share, like when your husband was building his business, you know, you guys kind of went through that. And a lot of married couples go through that. I know we've gone through that, where it's just the struggle of like trying to get finances in order and our home in order. And, you know, just it's hard. I mean, it can be really hard. So I like that you shared that vulnerable piece of you and, you know, and just the hard time, because hard times, when we hear other people's testimony and things they've been through, it does help you feel like you're not alone in certain situations, or if they can get through that, we can get through this, or, you know, whatever the case is. And so I wanted to ask you, like, in talking about like Wanda's faith and your faith, because I see you as a Wanda, as somebody who has a lot of faith and who just shares a heart for Jesus. But I know that I know I've been there before, where sometimes I'm like, why can't I have faith like that? Or I'm feeling so hopeless right now. And instead of like, I'm trying to figure out how to word it, 'cause I want to word it very delicately. Instead of, just clinging to God, like we were talking about earlier, and just saying, you know, God, this feels hopeless or whatever, we start comparing ourselves, you know, like, I want that faith, or why can't I have that much faith, or why can't I? So I have a question just for you. What would you say to the person going through struggles, and they're in the midst of struggles, and they're having a hard time, like holding on to faith, and they're feeling hopeless, and they just cannot get to that place of having faith? How would you encourage them?
That's a great question. You know, one thing that I saw, even as I was studying so many different unnamed women, and then thinking of with Jesus, and then thinking about my own life, is the truth that Jesus knows what you need, and he's so personal and so individual. Like, he didn't relate to the woman at the well the same way he related to the woman with the issue of blood. He didn't relate even to his disciples. He related to them each so uniquely and specifically, because he knew what their struggles were. He knew what their insecurities were. He knew the questions that they were asking late at night that they never voiced, but they were asking them in their mind. And so I think what I would encourage women with is the thought that he really does know you, and he really does see you. And I almost would encourage women to be so brutally honest with him
Because sometimes I think we believe the lie. Like we do, we hear these stories of women with great faith. And so we try to say the right thing or put a bow on our situation. Or when someone asks us how we're doing, we say we're blessed and highly favored. When in reality, like, you know, we have negative in the bank. And you don't have to share your stuff with everyone. But I have found if you can't be honest with people, a lot of times you are also sugarcoating your conversations with the Lord. And there's something that happens when you just get really honest with God. And I share about my husband started a business, and it basically failed, and we were in a lot of debt at a very young age, just not even sure what was next. Like, you know, what do we even do next? And probably one of the healthiest things I did was I just got honest with God. I told him I was mad. I told him that I didn't think it was fair. I questioned him about, you know, so what was the purpose of me praying if you didn't answer the way I wanted to? And now, 20 years later, I can see some things in hindsight, but in the moment you can't see it and you don't want to see it. You're just, you know? Yeah. And so I think honesty with God is so important. I think then surrounding yourself with people who will, like, they will make space for you to be honest, but then they won't allow you to wallow in it. Like, there's that difference, you know? Like, be honest with God, but then when he's like, all right, I've heard, but then, you know, so you don't wallow in it. You've still got people speaking truth and life and faith over you. And then just do the next thing he shows you to do. You know, God is so good to walk us out of those hard situations.
Yes.
And we want to know how long that walk is going to take. And he doesn't usually tell us. But if we don't take the step he shows us, it's going to be longer. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that so much. And thank you so much for sharing that, because that is, and you don't hear that often, is to be honest with God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something you very seldom hear. And the truth is, it's like he knows us better than, like, we even think we know ourselves.
So true.
He knows what's going on in there. Might as well just let it out and just talk to him like a real father, you know, that you, like, you would go to your father if you were in trouble or if you were angry or mad. You know, I remember being little and my mama and stepdad knew when I was being mad. Like, I had no problem telling them. But we do, you're right. We do tend to sometimes hold that back in and still even try to have that eloquent prayer time with him when he's just like, oh, daughter, please. Let's cut this.
Yes. True. So true.
Let's get to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's building a relationship with him, right? Mm-hmm. So I know that you're a mom and a wife and a pastor. You have a full plate. And I know a lot of women, obviously, who, you know, are moms and wives and, you know, they have a career or business or whatever. What are some things that help you balance your faith and that faith walk and way of doing life, you know, in this like crazy world that has us being pulled in different directions? I mean, we talked about social media earlier. I mean, how do you keep that balanced the right way?
I love that question. And actually when you said, I know you have a full plate, what immediately popped in my mind was several years ago now, I was talking to a lady and she was like, Paige, I don't have room for God on my plate. Like she went through the list, and we all have our list, right? Like she was like, I've got this with my kids and I've got this at work. And then I have this other side project. And I know it was the Holy Spirit, cause I'd never said this before, but out of my mouth, I said, well, good news is God's the plate. Wow. And that's really become like, just a real like truth in my own life. Anytime that I begin to get overwhelmed in any arena, I kind of take a step back and I think to myself, am I allowing the Lord to be the foundation of this area? Like, is he the plate that's holding up what's going on with my kids? Is he the plate that's holding up my responsibilities at the church? Am I going to him first before I just, you know, start eating and trying to get make everything work? And I found even just that slight perspective shift, it has made all the difference in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's never enough time. Nobody has enough time, you know? So you have to make a decision. You just have to make a decision and not try to fit God in or just, you know, but like go ahead and make the decision. No, okay. God wants to be a part of everything. Like God doesn't compartmentalize. He doesn't say this is sacred and this is secular. Like he wants to be a part of all of our life. That's just who he is. And so I think that's how I try to think about it is, and it has become a real thing. Whenever I feel anxiety about something, I can usually take a step back and realize, oh, I'm not allowing him to be the plate in that area of life. Yeah.
That's good. That's so good. And I love that. That's such a perfect analogy because you can't eat your dinner. You can't have your nourishing dinner if you don't have a plate. Like, I mean, you can't, you can put your potatoes in your hand, but it's not going to be good.
No, it's not.
It's going to be messy. It's probably going to, you know, fall everywhere. That's perfect. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I have a question because you have two girls. Is that correct?
I do. Yes.
How are they, because I know they're a little bit older and I've seen them like on your social media. I think you were doing like a book giveaway and they were very active in that. How do you bring your family into what you're doing, like as a pastor, as an author, and those things? How do they get to fit in with that? Because I think that's important. I think women do tend to like feel like they're in whatever they're doing alone and not including their husband or children into it. So I want to hear your perspective on that.
That's such a great question. And I don't know that I talk about this very often, but I am a major proponent of we do things as a family, you know, we really do. I will tell you this, from an early age, I just invited my kids into ministry with me. They've traveled the world with us. I mean, I have this fun picture of them. Haven was 2 and Sayla was 4, and we are in the customs line in a middle of nowhere place in Botswana, Africa. And, you know, and so much so that I think, especially if you start your kids at a young age, and it doesn't have to be like a trip, but just inviting them to do things with you, then it just becomes natural for them. And so, what we have really tried to do is just say like, this is something God has called our family to do. And you don't even have to have a title of ministry, but like if you're called to serve somewhere, like this is something the Lord has invited our family to do. If you're going to serve your neighborhood, this is not just mom's thing. That's I'm going to make cookies and take them to the neighbors. Like we're going to take cookies to the neighbors. And you just set this precedence that this is, we are all called to do this. There have been seasons where we have felt like God has asked us to do things that we know are going to be a little bit more challenging or uncomfortable. And we will actually go to our girls, especially as they've gotten older, and say, we feel like that this is something God wants us to do, but I want you to go pray about it for yourself and hear the Lord on what your part is supposed to look like. And I am always so amazed. And they don't come back like the Lord, you know, like they're just like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I prayed about it. I feel good about it. You know, like let's be involved. So my girls, I mean, I had a book signing and they were like, can we sell the books? I'm like, you can sell the books. I had a women's conference at our church, this last weekend, and my oldest daughter was cheering at a basketball game and she was so torn because she was, mom, I made the coffee last year. Like what's going to happen, you know? And so much so that as soon as the game was over, she had someone drop her off just so she could see if anybody needed help. And so this year, the younger one served on the coffee team, you know, every Sunday morning, my girls come with me early. And they work in kids classes. And there's just something about creating that it's a joy to serve. It's not, I think that's the thing, is if we teach our kids like, oh, this is hard and this is, you know, and there are hard things about it. Versus this is who we are. Like you take ownership. It's a part of you know what God's called us to do. it can change things. Now, my girls are 13, almost 14 and 11. This could change as they get older. My goal is just to, we just try to keep it as a conversation. Like, this is what we feel like we're called to do, you know, and you are invited as well.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because and I was almost hesitant to even ask you that because sometimes, kids, you also want to keep the kids, like, I guess almost like sheltered or not sheltered, but like protected maybe. But I also know like this show, there's a lot of mamas and I know from just talking to my friends, they have a hard time with separating. And it's like, no, don't separate, bring them into that,
Yes. I think at the same time, let me say this too. I think what helps is I have tried to go above and beyond to make my kids know, though, that they are still the priority above ministry. And so, for instance, this last year, I had to miss like three of my daughter's basketball games for commitments that I had. And when the fourth one came around, she came to me and she said, "Mom, this is the game I care about the most. I really want you to be there." And I had a second to like, okay, what am I? I'm gonna disappoint someone on either side. And I chose to disappoint the organization versus my kid. And I think when your kids are really secure in knowing that, like that they are your priority, then and they know, like she knows I can't say yes every time she asks, but therefore she asks when it really matters to her, and she knows therefore I will choose her. And so I think there's that balance too, is creating that atmosphere as well.
Yeah, that in that communication, like it's that's an early age to even be able to understand to communicate that. I mean, communication is huge. I mean, as adults, we have communication issues. So that's awesome that you're cultivating that space and that trust to for yeah, for her to be like, Mom, this is important to me. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And then I'm gonna ask, I almost didn't ask this either, but I like our conversation and I have a feeling you won't mind. I mean, if you do, we'll edit it out. But because I know that in the world that we live in, there is a lot of controversy on, I don't even know if that controversial topic or controversy, anyway, on women pastoring. And because you have two daughters, I just wanted to know, like, how do you talk to them about that? When and if, I mean, might not ever even be like, you may not ever even like combat this, but if even if it's something is like brought said to them, like how do you go through that with them, even just to teach them like your decision and how God called you to do this, and but what that opposition sometimes is. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It makes sense. And I have experienced quite a bit of opposition in my life. What I would tell my girls, and I actually have a lot of young women who come and want to talk about this. And so what I encourage them with is this is number one, you need to study scripture for yourself to determine what you believe the word of God says about women and in what ways they can be in ministry. I really wrestled with that in my early 20s. When I felt like the Lord, I don't know if this is in the book. It was in one point, but it may have been part that got cut. I really felt like the Lord called me to full-time ministry when I was about 16 years old. And I came home from a church camp after that experience. And one of the very first people that I told, I think out of a desire to try to protect me, they said, "But you're a girl. And, I know you think you want to be a preacher, but maybe instead you should try to be a counselor." Now, I would be a really bad counselor, Chrissy. I don't have that gift at all. And it really messed with me for a lot of years. And so much so that I stopped telling anyone that I felt like that was a calling in my life. So later when I went to college, I just finally felt like the Lord invited me to say, you know what, let's figure this out. Go into the Word, you know, don't look for other people's opinions. And I did, I've read all the books on both sides. And so I did the work for myself. And I came to a place where I decided, this is what I believe. I believe that based on scripture that I can preach. I believe based on scripture and you know, I can get in all that stuff. But then I also walked away from that because I have done the work and I now believe this. I also realize it's not, I'm not, I'm going to not try to convince other people. Like they need to have their own study and time with the Lord. And so if people want to come and say, you're not allowed to do this, I just have said, you know, well, I believe I am. And this church has, you know, given me the platform to do that. And it's not my responsibility to change your mind. Now, I will tell you what's been really fun is I have had multiple people over the years come to me and say, you know, the first time I heard you preach, I was like, what's happening? She's not allowed to do that. But then they've said, but then I went and studied and read and did this for myself. And I'm so glad, especially people that have daughters, I'm so glad that they're getting to see someone who's doing that. And I'm kind of going in a rabbit trail. I'm just kind of giving the full picture.
Oh, you're fine.
So that's kind of how I walk it out is I am so secure and confident in what God has called me to do. And I'm happy to show you where I see that in scripture, but also I'm not going to engage in a fight over it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I tell my girls too, but I'm like, you know what, if the Lord calls you to do it, then I believe he's going to, you know, equip you and empower you and open the doors for you to do it. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Awesome. No, thank you so much for sharing that. And you like, it was perfect. Cause I mean, it's out there, you know, mm-hmm. it's a topic. And especially with you having daughters, I was just curious how you did like kind of teach them how to like, because that's also an important lesson for a young girl. Like, how do I believe what the Lord's called me to do, but combat like the opposition and the like attacks or naysayers, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for women to just even hear that because I mean, God, like we have to, and that's why having that relationship with God is so important because we have to be able to discern his voice and like be able to, no matter what so-and-so says or thinks, mm-hmm. I have to remain in what he's called me to do and how he's called me to live.
Yes. You know, I mean, just to go back to the same story, it's my own version of sirens at times, especially earlier on in ministry. You know, I would hear people have said things to me, to my face, or they've gone above my head to different people and you hear about it. And for a lot of years, those were sirens that caused me to want to run. But the more I got to know Jesus and the more I was like, no, this is actually what he has said. And also then the more I started to see the fruit of being obedient to what he said, then all of a sudden now those sirens, they're like so, you know, just a faint noise. So, yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for sharing that and for being willing to answer that. Cause I don't like to get into controversial topics too much on here just cause I want this to be a place of like love and peace and all that stuff. But that is a real thing, you know, it's a real question. So
yes.
Thank you so much. We have been chatting for a while. So thank you for taking the time to talk to me and share your heart for Jesus and just how in life, like it's good to get to know some of these parts about you a little bit more that, you know, I haven't seen. And so just mm-hmm. even how you're raising your daughters and all of those things. Thank you so much for being vulnerable here. And guys, go get her book. It's awesome. I'll put a link to that below too. But before we head out, Paige, is there anything else that you would like to share with the ladies that tune in?
I think we've covered it. No, thanks so much for having me. I've enjoyed the conversation, and I'm so glad you went there with all of your questions, because those are all things I actually love to talk about.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, you guys, I'm going to leave all of Paige's information in the show notes. You will be able to find out how to get a hold of her. Please don't be like blowing up her stuff, guys. I mean, I'm sure she won't mind a question here and there, but
no.
You'll be able to find out how to connect with her on social media and to just get that encouragement that she brings. You'll be able to see her book. And Paige, do you mind if I put the local church that you work for, that information on here?
Is that... No, that's great. That'd be perfect.
All right. That way, if any of you Lubbock ladies just need a new church home or want to go and visit and see what this church is like, I've been there. It's a great church. You'll have that opportunity also to check it out. So thank you so much, Paige. Bye, you guys. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.